The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. We're Parker, Alex McFarland with you today, and we're so excited to look in the book of Obadiah. It's a small book, hidden away, one chapter, but it's got some great information in it, and it also, you can look and you see character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're doing is going through the Bible, the entire Bible, and finding the thread of redemption. It was W.A. Criswell, the great pastor, First Baptist Church, Dallas, for so many years, and he called it the golden thread or the scarlet thread of redemption through the Bible. And it's about the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Obadiah, you find this. And so we want to look at that for a little bit today, and then we'll probably take questions a little earlier than usual if everything goes as planned. But Obadiah, the word itself, means servant of Yahweh. And we don't know much about Obadiah. He was a prophet, but yet we don't know the exact time. And the only way we can look at it is look at some of the issues that they were dealing with, and it seems like it was Judah, that he was from Judah, and he would prophesy, but the prophecy was against Edom. And, praise the Lord, we're looking at Edom, and the prophecy was against Edom because Edom, who was, let me put it this way, was a cousin. You know, if you were looking at it for as our kinship, they were cousins, and they passively sat by two or three times and let Judah suffer. One of them was when they were making their way from Egypt into the Promised Land, and another one was when the enemy came in. And they also did one other thing, Alex, that is so horrible. They rejoiced at Judah's heartache and difficulty. That's people that do that. They're going to catch some of the judgment of God that as a nation or as an individual, brother.
Exactly. Well, you know, the pure-blooded Jewish people had always had friction with the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, didn't they?
They did, always. It sounds like it started in the womb, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, this is the shortest book in the Old Testament. And the only book of the Old Testament, there's just one single chapter, isn't it? In other words, it almost reminds me of Jude or 1st or 2nd John. You know, in the New Testament, there's some of these books that are just one chapter, but are, you know, powerhouse. I think of the book of Jude that is one chapter, but is just a powerhouse of doctrine and truth. And Obadiah is just one chapter, but it's about judgment and really the ultimate doom of a group of people that had been an obstruction to the Israelites. I mean, they wouldn't help the Israelites on their way to Canaan, and they could have helped, and they didn't. And so they're prideful. Obadiah verse 10 talks about, quote, violence against thy brother Jacob,
you know?
And so they eventually have caused the patience of the Lord to run out.
They could, honestly, joined in to bless, but they refused to. They rejected, and they went the other way. And before we start looking at Christ in here, I do want to say this and learn the lesson from Obadiah. I believe that we who are believers should look for opportunities to bless one another. I know those that seemingly sit around, and they're trying to find differences, if they're minute differences. I know we've got to stand up when the differences are great. I mean, you know, family, marriage, life, pro-life or pro-choice, the Bible being inspired or not inspired. But sometimes if we're not careful as fellow believers, we will make too big a difference on some issues, and people say, well, this issue is important. And Alex, I've come to this part, and it's a little loose, I know that, but if it's not going to matter in heaven, don't make it the biggest deal in the world down here.
Exactly.
And I know that sounds a little, I don't know if that sounds loose or not, but brother, you better make sure you know Jesus Christ, you're following him, you're winning others, and better watch those issues that maybe don't matter 20 years from now or in eternity. And Edom sat on the sideline when they should have been in the game, you know?
Well, you know, you go back to Proverbs, and you and I have taught through the book of Proverbs a time or two. We love the book of Proverbs, everybody. Bert and I really love it.
Well, let me interrupt and make sure people know you can find our teaching on the book of Proverbs along with your book at afastore.net. So it's still available, Alex. So that is available for people.
Bert, you've heard the phrase of something backfired on you. You know, things backfire, or the old saying, what goes around comes around. You know, if you do something bad, you know, sometimes it will catch up to you. In Proverbs chapter 6, it talks about being caught by your own snare. You know, I think about Haman in the book of Esther, who built a gallows to hang people, but the one who was executed on that gallows he built was Haman himself. Yeah. Well, the Edomites, they had some... You know, while we're using slogans and phrases here, I mean, they had some chickens that came home to roost. There are things that sometimes backfire. Francis Schaeffer, 40, maybe 45 years ago, wrote a book called The Great Evangelical Disaster. Do you remember that book, Bert?
I do. I did, yes.
And Francis Schaeffer was talking about the fact that in the late 1920s, a lot of the conservative churches thought that we're gonna show our fidelity to the Word of God, and we're just gonna withdraw from the culture, and we're not gonna be involved in education. We're gonna start our own, you know, private schools. We're not gonna be involved in art, literature, music. You know, we're gonna withdraw from the culture. And I know the intent might have been good, but what rushed in to fill the vacuum created by the absence of Christians was the world. And right now, we're many in the church are kind of playing catch up because our withdrawal from the table of cultural influence kind of really created the opportunity for some very, very bad forces to take the wheel. And so things can boomerang, but Edom's opposition to thy brother Judah has come back to them, and the judgment of God has come on the Edomites, and it's an example of something backfiring, isn't it?
It is, exactly. And what you do in most, just about every one of the prophets in the Old Testament, whether it's the major or minor prophets, one of the characteristics will be judge. It looks like Jesus. He comes and he judges. The reason that is, we think of prophecy as foretelling the future. Well, it is, but that's really far as the majority of what they did. I'm not saying it's less important. Don't hear me say that. But it was less than foretelling, F-O-R-T-H, foretelling truth. And Edom is telling, Obadiah is foretelling them what's going to happen to them as he foretells them the sin that they are committing. And so the first characteristics and as that we see in Christ is judge. And again, we went over that yesterday in the book of Amos, Alex. It sounds like, oh man, that's a horrible issue. But without that judgment, without his determination that we are judged and found lacking, we would think we were sufficient in ourselves, and we're not. So this judgment that God gives through Jesus Christ to us is looking at us and looking at a heart and finding out it's empty, and we're convicted of that, judged of that, and we start seeking God. What a blessing that judgment is.
Well, exactly, exactly. You know, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If maybe you've had a Christian friend who came and kind of had to have a little heart-to-heart talk with you, and, you know, at first, in the flesh, that might sound offensive, like, well, who are you to give me advice? But, you know, let me say this. Anybody would tell you what you want to hear, but a true Christian friend will tell you what you need to hear.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what the Word of God is like. You know, Bert, I was at a church this week, and I spoke to some young adults, and we were sharing, you know, in love, but sharing some biblical truth. And, you know, I had a young person, college age, come up and said, you know, I'm offended. And I said, really, about what? And we talked, and it was just the Scriptures. And I said, well, you know what? I know a lot of what the Bible says goes against the conventional wisdom you might be hearing in the college classroom, but, you know, don't get mad. Get right.
Amen.
With God. I mean, the last person you want to square off and fight is the Lord, because you won't win.
We do.
He's the Lord.
But
you know what?
Amen.
Even God's judgment and God's occasional chastisement, It's done in love.
It is. And that is true. Speak the truth in love, and God is our model. He's not asking us to do what He doesn't do. He does that. Well, let's get down to the Scriptures here and read them before we go to the first break. And right. You can look. The main part of it is everything Edom has done, verses 1 through 14. But 15 starts looking in a little deeper, and notice that, for the day of the Lord... again, verse 15, for the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done it, it shall be done to you. That sounds a little bit like the golden rule. But here it is judgment. He is judging, and He's found them lacking. And so here we find out that when you see the day of the Lord, it should get your attention in every book, shouldn't it?
Well, yeah, and I know we're at 15, but let me read something here in verse 7. Because there's, you know, Edom is getting judged. Verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? In other words, God sees. All the men of thy confederacy have brought you even to the border, to the brink. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Okay, these people had a confederacy, an agreement. You know, we're going to do this thing, and we know it's wrong, but hang with us. Bert, there comes a time when your cronies turn out to have been really not your friend at all.
Amen.
you know, friend, you don't need cronies, and you don't need a posse to run with. You need the Lord and the family of God.
And Jesus makes it plain, what shall it gain a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
That's right.
And so going with, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and there'll be many that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So just going along is not right, and God will judge. And that's what he says in 15. He presents him as judge. As you have done, it shall be done to you. That's that passage a little bit. It, you know, that we were talking about being turned the way Haman was. Psalm 57 talks about them, you know, digging a pit. And the reason they dig the pit is because they're already in the pit and they want you to join them. You know, these people are already miserable, Alex. These people that you're talking about wanting you to turn away from God, they're miserable and they want more company. And we've got to say, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going the way of God. And God's judgment in our heart, in the conviction in our heart, will bring us to that place of repentance and His love. It'll bring us to repentance, won't it?
It absolutely will. It absolutely will. Hey, let's, after the break, keep on in the book of Obadiah.
And we'll be back right after the break with more.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa,
the numbers of new cases and deaths are still rising.
International relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering.
We can't say we're Samaritan's Purse and not help.
My phone rang. One of our doctors, Kent Brantley, has Ebola.
And then David looked at me and he said, you too have Ebola.
We're there to save life. We're there in your name. Why?
Despite the fact that things were out of control, we knew that God was in control.
God puts you in places and supplies the strength to deal with.
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says, loving the things of this world can't help but suffocate our love for the Lord. We'll discover how easy it is to make that choice without realizing it as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It's like the man, he wanted to get away to the beauty, scenic environment of an island. So he bought this pristine island surrounded by beautiful blue ocean water, and the whole island was his. One day, somebody gave him a great idea. They said, you know what? Why don't you build a golf course? Because that'll give you some fun stuff to do on your island. He said, you know what? That's a good idea. I'll build a golf course. They told him, a lot of people would want to play golf on this island. Why don't you build a hotel? Because you build a hotel, a lot of folk will want to come here and play golf on this private island surrounded by this ocean. He said, oh, yeah, that sounds good. He said, now what? We got all these people coming. Let's build a hospital because folk get sick and they stay here a while. You got to be able to take care of them. And so he authorized the building of a hospital. And they told him, we can't vouch for all the people that come. We need a police department so if some folk go off, we can still keep it calm here so people will keep wanting to come. He had a police department. By the time it was over, he couldn't smell the ocean. The air was tore up from the flow up. Because he had crowded it with so much other stuff, he forgot the reason why he got there in the first place. That's how the world is. It wants to crowd out the reason for the relationship with God to begin with.
If you'd like to learn what it means to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
I'm telling you what, that song should bless you and minister to you.
I love that song.
I do too. Every time I hear it, I love the rhythm, but I love those words. Alex, we're going to be together this weekend. We're looking forward to it. This Sunday, I'll be at Britton Baptist Church in the morning service, 1050 Britton Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. And then Sunday night, you're going to join us, and we're going to have a town hall meeting, a rally. We call it many things, prayer meeting, exploring the word rally. It's just Bert and Alex being together, preaching, praising the Lord, and praying, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and we hope you'll be there at Britton. That's Britton, Britton Baptist in Oklahoma City. Pastor Rick Belichick, great church. You can find him online. And let me say, the spring 2017 calendar is pretty full, but looking toward the future, Bert and I have done a number of these things, and oh my goodness, last September we were in Fayetteville and Covenant of Love Church and Village Baptist and the great folks of Fayetteville, and we had just under 3,000 people come out for a prayer rally. To God be the glory. But if you want to have a prayer rally, spiritual town hall meeting, if you want Bert and Alex to come and your church is a place we might do one of these things, reach out to us. You can reach Bert at AFA, or you can, email us. And the best email, I guess, would probably be that word.
Yeah, I was thinking say word@afr.net. We
yes.
get that.
Word.
And it passes on to you and me, and we get our questions there. We're going to answer one or two of those questions today. Came, but we'd love to, and we're going to be there that night, and you're going to stay Monday through Wednesday and
That's
be
right.
preaching the rest of Monday through Wednesday.
That's right. We're going to do a revival there at Britton Baptist, and I'll be there. Bert and I are Sunday night, this Sunday, the 26th. Hope you'll be there. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's my privilege, and what a privilege to stay and preach for 3 nights. And of course, I'll be doing the show. I'm going to bring the equipment with me, and we'll still be doing Exploring the Word every day. But be in prayer. If you're anywhere near Oklahoma City, come on out, and we'll have a good time together in the Lord.
Amen. We're looking forward to it. Well, we're looking at Obadiah. We're looking at Thread of Redemption, and in verses 17 through 20, and it's, I think we see it in verse 17, the ministry, and sometimes you see the person of the Redeemer, which is Jesus. Sometimes you see the ministry of Jesus, the Redeemer, and here it's the ministry. Listen to verse 17. It just says it straight out, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Alex, I want to talk about that for a moment. Deliverance, salvation. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's our Restorer. He's our Redeemer. But I love the word deliver because Amen. He's delivered us from darkness into light. He's delivered us from death to life. And He makes special deliveries, doesn't He? Our Savior, He makes special deliveries, and every soul that's ever been born again is a special delivery by the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob, interesting in 17, shall possess their possessions. Now, Bert, is it possible to have something that really is yours, but you don't quite possess it?
You better believe it. Let me see. The land that the children of Israel came out of Egypt to conquer was theirs before they got there, and they would not go in and possess it. It was just waiting on them. Joshua and Caleb said, "It's our land. Let's go up and possess it immediately." Mm-hmm. And they refused. And so God does that with our life. Yes, you have salvation, but salvation is not just going to heaven. It's living a victorious life in the present time. And I know people that, you know, they're living defeated lives, even in difficulty, Alex, but God's given us everything we need for life and godliness in this present world, hasn't He?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I'm just so intrigued by this phrase, possess their possessions. You know, there's that old saying that different writers have unpacked, so-and-so is living in famine and doesn't even know it. You've heard people talk about living beneath your privileges. And many writers have done stories about, you know, the prince and the pauper, someone living in squalor and didn't realize that they were royalty. And I think that that's been an intriguing story premise, because it really echoes the fact that, you know, your true identity is in Christ. If you're a born-again believer, you know, you might not have a lot of money in the bank, but your identity, the real you, is in Jesus. Now, Bert, there was a dear old couple when I was growing up, and they were in church, and they were so sweet. They took us youth to cookouts and things like that, and it would be many years before I appreciated fully, you know, what they were doing to invest in us. But I remember they would always, as we would dismiss, they would say, "Remember who you are."
Yes.
Now, explain what that means in terms of this Obadiah verse 17, possessing your possessions. What does it mean for a young person or any person as you go out through life to remember who you are? What does that mean?
Let me do another thing with that, and I'll come back to it. The Andy Griffith Show, you and I are both fans, love mm-hmm. that show. Do you
Big
remember
time.
That Andy would tell Opie, remember, you're somebody, okay?
Act like somebody.
Yes, act like somebody, and it's the same difference in that we are the child of the King. We've been redeemed, we've been called forth, and yet that's your thoughts of the prince and the pauper is so real. Here we are. We have everything we need for life and godliness in this present world, and we do not use it. It's like having, and I'm going to use an extreme here, a Corvette. I mean, a 69 Corvette. Some of the prettiest cars. The other day the greatest cars ever made in 1969 was the Camaro, the Corvette, even the Mustang, and it showed them.
Forget the Dodges and Plymouths.
The Dodge Charger, yes.
yeah.
That was a great year. And it's like getting a horse two horses to pull your Corvette when all you would have to do is crank the engine and let it run.
That's a great picture.
We are living with our own flesh when the Spirit of God has moved in. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a second blessing. It is the first blessing, brother, that He mm-hmm. comes in. He immerses our life. He indwells with us, and He's given us all this, but yet we're living in our own power. And so remember who you are. Remember mm-hmm. that you are somebody. God has made you for better than this. Alex, that's who we are in Christ.
Exactly, exactly. You know what? I had the privilege. I was on the telephone yesterday with a missionary, a woman who grew up on the mission field, and she was telling me some stories of answered prayer when her dad and mother had raised them on the mission field, and they didn't have any money, and sometimes you know, what few things they had would break. And she said a lot of people would think I was crazy. And I could tell, kind of, you know, sharing some of her stories of answered prayer and God's provision, almost embarrassed. And she said, you know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but let me tell you what the Lord did. I said, ma'am, I don't think you're crazy a bit. Because look, we are the King's kids. Now, He doesn't give us all of our wants always, but He does meet all of our needs, and very often does meet our dreams and our wants. But in terms of possessing your possessions, and Bert, I'm not trying to get weird here, but let me say this. When you're walking with the Lord, you're serving the Lord, you're in the will of God, I believe with all my heart, your prayers, we have more power in prayer than we possibly access or tap. And I'm talking circumstances, needs, I'm talking health and healing. And let me just say this. There have been times that I had a need and I would pray and I'd say, Lord Jesus, you know, all I'm trying to do is serve you, and please make that person responsive to the gospel, or Lord, please do this or do that. And God does it. And I think it's time the church in America possesses her possessions.
Praise the Lord.
Folks, you know I love people. I love people. God's people, lost people, I love people. I do. But the fact is, the atheists, the Muslims, the activists, and yes, parts of the homosexual lobby, they would just as soon see the church close up shop. They don't want to be reminded of God. They don't want to hear the gospel. And if the church doesn't learn how to pray again, if the church doesn't seek revival like we seek our next breath of oxygen, it might not be Bert and Alex's lifetime, but our kids and grandkids might be living in a godless, atheistic state. And in terms of an awakening and a revival, it's time to possess our possessions again, isn't it?
It is. Let me, one thing, and then I want to get to verse 21, which shows the third part. He's a judge, He's deliverer, Savior, which brings possession. He delivers us so we can possess our possessions. You know, we can't possess those if we haven't been delivered to Him to the place of receiving them. But here's what He wants to do. When you talk about what He wants to do in your life, it's not to make us comfortable. Now, in America, that's what we've translated, right. Name it and claim it, just say the word, and you can have that new car, name it and claim it. No, it's not to make us more comfortable. It's to make us conformable to the will of God in our lives. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He's doing, and that's what possessing our possession. We possess what He's given us so that we'll become more like Jesus. If we have possessions, we use them for His glory. If we don't have the possessions, like Lazarus, you know, he sat at the table of the rich man, but he was still used of God. So there's people that are saved, serving the Lord. They're not living the high life. They're living pretty difficult lives. You know, all over the world, mm-hmm. Christians have been beheaded. Christians are imprisoned, but they're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Right. That's the whole idea. That's where He wants to bring us. Alex, let's move on to verse 21, and notice the last phrase, "And the kingdom shall be the Lord." He is not just the judge. He's not just the deliverer. He's the owner of this kingdom. He's the king. And a lot of times we talk about the kingdom and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That is great. I love to talk about it. But more important than the kingdom is the king who operates it and owns it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we talk about the blessings. We need to keep our eyes on the blesser. We long for the kingdom, but the best part of the kingdom is going to be in the presence of the king. And, you know, a lot of this is only going to be realized really in the millennium, isn't it?
It is. And that's really where a lot of the prophets take us, isn't it?
Well, it is. There's so much of the Old Testament that there will be the salvation, the Redeemer of Israel, and then the restored kingdom. But in that interval that I don't know that they could have understood in their own time, and we're only now beginning to understand it retrospectively, but there's this thing that we call the church age, isn't there?
It is, and we're living in it.
Between Christ's miraculous first coming and his miraculous second coming, there's been this time. So somebody might ask, and in fact, I've had folks ask this, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Because he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And he wants this gospel of the kingdom preached to all the nations. And that's where, you know, that's exciting, Bert. I was reading an article this morning in the newspaper about a major, major American company that is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. And a company founded over 100 years ago, and within the next few months may close up shop. And, you know, to have a business for 100 years, that might seem like a long time. There's a few businesses in this world that have been around 200 and 300 years, and that's about the extent of it. But when you're in God's program, you're a part of something that has spanned the centuries. The territory includes the entire world, and the labor force is the people of God of all the ages who would step up and be used by the Lord. This thing called the Great Commission. And between Christ's first coming and his absolutely dependable second coming, and that's going to be, there is the Great Commission, and you can be a part of it.
It is. And let me, we're going to take calls in just a moment. Let me give you that number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to try to take your calls. But one way you can get a hold of us is going to word@afr.net, word@afr.net. And Mark came to us, and I think we can get this in right before we go to break. He said, I have a wife and a two-year-old daughter, two-year-old boy, and I'm wanting to teach them the Bible, and I want to read the Word of God to them. Do y'all have any suggestions? Let me just share with you two or three things. When they're that little and they're little boys, don't be afraid. I've used this before to act out the Bible stories. Read them. Yes, read them. But little boys, if they're like Alex and Bert, they had a hard time sitting still for more than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, man, I was ready to ride a horse or a camel. So act them out. But another thing you can do, have you ever heard of storying the Scriptures, Alex? Storying the Scriptures?
Not exactly.
Okay,
what
it's
you
a
mean.
Great thing. It was discovered for the mission field, nations and people that did not have the Bible in their own language, far as that. And they would go in and story the Bible. In other words, they'd tell them about Adam. Then they would go to Noah. Then they'd go to Abraham, and they'd tell these stories. And it would climax. It would climax with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so be sure and tell the stories to those little ones.
Yes.
They'll be blessed. I want to read the Scripture, but tell the story, interweave it, be a Thanksgiving. Sing a song, too, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Just sing songs to those little children. They'll stick in their head. We'll be back right after the break.
American Family Radio, impacting America.
This is Kathy from Huntsville, Texas. I'd just like to say that listening to AFR on a daily basis has really brought me to a new realization as to my value as a Christian with regard to world affairs and my ability to stand up for our religious rights and be a part of a much-needed revival. I'm informed and led to help with a pure heart and strengthen my faith by each and every show host. The Christian worldview I've found is the only view that I want to follow, and I can stand strong with this daily encouragement and truth. Thank you, everyone.
Your partnership makes a difference. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon starting April 4th. American Family Radio, boldly standing for truth for your family.
Unwholesome television programs and unnatural social agendas. As believers, we use our religious freedoms to take out the trash in the media and society. Even children's magazines are in the crosshairs. Join 1MillionMoms.com and take action.
This is Monica Cole of 1 Million Moms. We need you to sign up and speak up for our children at 1MillionMoms.com. We are making the difference.
Operation Christmas Child's 9,000 volunteers nationwide say it's never too early to talk about Christmas. Their 2016 year-round efforts in community, church, logistics, prayer, and media made it possible for millions of children to hear of Jesus' love through a gift-filled shoebox. To learn more about local year-round opportunities to make disciples around the world or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, the American Health Care Act. Will the House vote tonight, and will it pass? Heritage Foundation's Director of Policy Outreach, Tommy Binion, will break it all down for us. Plus, the latest developments in the Gorsuch confirmation hearing, as well as the investigation into the president's wiretapping claim. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. Studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you. And we're going to take questions, but I'm going to finish answering this question. Our help that Mark asked for. Mark asked for help concerning devotion. Wife, when you have little children like a two-year-old boy, let me restate it. We were kind of hurried, and sometimes I try to work too many things in a short period of time. But you do want to read the scriptures. You do want to open the Bible. But little boys and some little girls, Brent reminded me, he's our producer and board op. He's got two beautiful little girls, and he reminded me, said, Brother Bert, they're all over the place. And so I know how that is as well. But you read some scriptures, but learn to tell the stories. And it's called Story in the Scriptures, Alex. Let me tell you a story about that. This was done in a nation with a Mauk tribe of people, M-O-U-K. And these two missionaries went, and you can find this story at New Tribes Mission. And they went and they learned a story. The language, they did not have the Bible in their language. They learned the language, and they started telling them story and Adam. How he came about. Then they went to Noah. They went to Abraham. They went to some of the prophets and all the things. And they were really down. They did it day after day, hearing the Bible story. In other words, you don't necessarily start with the Lord Jesus Christ here. You started, like we did, telling man's plight, that man couldn't do it on his own, even in a perfect environment. Man couldn't make it. It was evil, like Noah's day. Abraham had to get a word from God and move out, and it continued. They get to the New Testament, and they start telling the stories about Jesus' birth, about his good works, the miracles, and they're excited. And then they take him to the cross, and he's dead. Now, he leaves it there for a while until the next day. And they come back the next day, and they tell him about the resurrection. And these people, the mock tribe, they celebrate Jesus. And it's one of the
Folks, listen to this. I know the story Bert is talking about. The first two times I saw this film, and it's under 30 minutes. First two times I ever saw it, it made me cry.
Yes.
And it's spelled E-E-T-A-O-W, E-T-A-O. And that's what the MOOC people were shouting when the gospel clicked in their mind, and it means it is good, or we receive this.
That's it.
And when you see these hundreds of people jumping up and down for joy, shouting, "Etau, Etau," in other words, we get it. God sent his son. So I'm sure it's online, E-E-T-A-O-W, Etau. I guarantee you're going to want to show it to your whole church, and it'll just melt your heart, won't it?
It will, and I did the first two or three times I saw it. I just could not just – I said, Bert, the greatest message in the world, has it grown stale to you? It should be fresh every morning. But I use that as an illustration of storying. These missionaries learn to story. Your children, they have the Bible, yes, but you need to learn to tell the stories. Children are enraptured with stories. Walt Disney figured that out, and that's how he could make what he did, and we're not going to talk about where Disney's gone now, but what he did, he understood. Great people understand the value of story. And Jesus, that's what he would do many times, isn't it?
Well, this is sweet. A lot of you, I've referenced Alexandria and Benjamin, that's my niece and nephew that we helped raise. And Alexandria, she was about 5 or 6, my little niece, and she was so sweet. And when I was in seminary, out behind the apartment where we rented was this field, and it was kind of tall grass. And it was an interesting looking grass. I'd never pay much attention to it, but we were always teaching Alexandria Bible stories. So one day I looked out, she was walking back and forth, like she would walk to one end, turn around, and walk the other. And I went out there, I said, "Sweetie, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm gleaning." Now, I instantly knew what she was talking about, because we had talked through the book of Ruth at one point, and they were gleaning, and she was walking up and down through this tall grass, pretending that she was in the story of Ruth, but it stuck in her mind, didn't it?
That is awesome. Let me give you one more. My wife did this. If anybody in your home is musical, I was not. Praise the Lord. My wife can carry a tune. She sings very well, and she's got great imagination when it comes to the scriptures and a tune. Yes, we'd sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, Jesus Loves the Little Children of the World, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. But then there were some passages of scripture that our children, we wanted them to know. And it was just hard for them to memorize because they were hyperactive like their daddy, couldn't sit down long enough to do it. But she would set it to music, and those children, that music would help them learn that verse. And so use all the creation that God's given you. Don't be boring. I mean, the Alex and I, we try to bring some energy and passion to the radio. If you come to Britain Baptist Church Sunday night, you'll see that we not only talk that way, but we walk, and you know, it's just a part of who we are because we're passionate about what God has done. Be passionate. Demonstrate it. Store it. And you can tell that's a big deal with me. I did some of it. I didn't do it long enough, and I wish, you know, I could have done it better. But do everything you can to get the Word of God into the heart of your children.
Amen.
And, well, Alex, let's go to the phone lines. We want to go to North Carolina and talk to Tony. Tony, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Thank you, Bert and Alex, for taking my call. I enjoy your show tremendously. My question is, over the years, I guess maybe twice at the most, I've heard this subject preached on, but I've heard a lot, and if I understand the scripture correctly, there will be different rewards in heaven. Now, saying that, would it be reasonable to say that there will be different degrees of punishment in hell, or is there any scripture to back that up? I can't think of any.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great question. Alex, we know there'll be rewards in heaven. There, you know, we did a Bible study right here on Exploring the Word one time about the five crowns that a Christian can win and lay at the feet of Jesus. We know those five degrees. Let me give you my thought real quickly. And Alex, sometimes your brain, you go back, you're going through the file, but I do believe the degrees of memory is part of the degrees of hell. The more opportunities someone has had to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and they go through those memories. Think about the rich man that went to hell. He remembered his brothers. That brought on more torment than him just being there, because he said, I have five brothers. I need to go and tell them, don't come here. So memories may be a part of the punishment in hell, Alex.
Well, you know what? The caller brings up a great question. Will there be degrees of punishment in hell? And in Luke chapter 12, the Lord said, the one that does not know and does things deserving of stripes will be beaten with few stripes. And it talks about one servant beaten with few stripes and another beaten with many stripes. Now, in the original language, the word there is really the word affliction or wounds or afflictions, but it's the word plague, P-L-E-G-E, plague is really the Greek word there. So plague, now how does that relate to punishment? Let me just say this. Everybody in their heart has the witness of conscience. And we know the Bible says from the creation, the things of God are known so that everyone is accountable. But let's say that there's a person somewhere and they only had minimal exposure to the gospel, but they were sinners, they knew it, but they would not turn to God, and they had only a minimal knowledge of Jesus. Conversely, you've got these atheists I debate at college campuses, and I'm going to be at one April 11. I'll tell you about that maybe. But they lived in America. They saw Billy Graham on TV. There's a church on every corner. There's a Gideon Bible in every hotel room. They found gospel tracts 139 times throughout the course of their life. There's a lot of accountability they had. And, Bert, I believe the degree of punishment is going to be, at least in some way, proportional to the degree of light that one had and one rejected.
I agree completely. The more light received, the more accountability there is. I just want to say, I want to go back to what I said. I do believe memories will be a part of hell that will make it. You think about the rich man. He was tormented in this flame. We know that. Then he concentrated on the area of his memories, of his family, of those that he had, led astray, and those that was the linger when the thirst was there for a moment. Yes, it was, and it's still there, understand. But the memory of those brothers, again, you need to get right with God. If you're putting off Jesus Christ and you're saying, I'm going to do it for a more convenient time, you're driving right now, you're at your desk right now, you don't need to wait. Today's the day of salvation. You need to come to Jesus Christ today, don't they, Alex?
They really do. Let me give a brief illustration, and this is probably not a great illustration, but it's been a long, long time since I've ever had a speeding ticket, but I got a speeding ticket probably about 15 years ago. Praise the Lord, it's been a while. Hope I don't get one. But I remember from the time I got pulled, and then the officer comes up, and then he goes back to his car, and he's writing up that ticket. I remember sitting there, and I felt a word called remorse. And I remember, I thought, man, I'm so stupid. I saw the speed limit sign. I knew I was going over the speed limit, and my insurance is going to go up, and I got to pay this ticket, and I'm going to be late for my appointment. Man, what was wrong with me? I knew better than to do this. And multiply that by like 20 million. Can you imagine? And people talk about what is hell going to be like. I've got to think one of the worst things of it will be the remorse for the person who says, I did this to myself. I knew better and I did it anyway. Friend, we beg, do not leave this world without Jesus.
and come to him today. If you need help more than Alex and I telling you, you can go to 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM, and there'll be some people there ready to talk with you and help you. And we had someone call in just the other day, and they called this number, and they said they was needing to be saved, and Cedra sent them on to 888-NEED-HIM. They were ready to get saved after listening
right
to this
on.
Program. Let's go to Texas and talk to Chris. Chris, welcome.
Hello, pastors. How y'all doing?
Doing great today, brother.
Thanks for taking my call. My question was just about the rapture, because I've read the Bible several times, and just with the Bible alone, without any other influences, I find it hard to believe in the rapture. Even reading Thessalonians, even reading different parts of the Bible, it always comes back to me as God sees us through whatever we're going to go through, and he's there with us, but he doesn't necessarily take us out of the situation.
Okay.
Do you have any comment to that?
Okay, we haven't got a lot of time. Alex, the word rapture means caught up, and we know that's in Thessalonians. You know, we were caught up with the Lord. It's other places as well, isn't it?
Yeah, great question. And let me say this, and I want to be careful how I say this, and Bert, you feel free to disagree if you want to. The point of orthodoxy that you really need to believe in order to truly be a classically biblical Orthodox Christian is that Christ is coming back. I believe the rapture, the catching away, is not a fundamental of the faith on the order of the deity of Christ. Christ is the Son of God. He shed his blood to wash our sin away. He's literally going to come back. So there are people born again, they love Jesus, and they don't believe in the rapture, but they do believe in the second coming. And the second coming is what is one of the core foundation stones of orthodoxy. However, within that belief, you know, equally good, well-intentioned people have tried to parse together what are going to be the details of the end of time. And I understand the question is really, will the church go through the tribulation? You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53 says, I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and will rise imperishable. The two key scriptures, Bert, in the interest of time, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself will descend with a trumpet, with a voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another, comfort one another with these words. Bert, as I understand it, you don't have to believe in the rapture to be saved, although I do think the rapture, the catching away, is clearly there. But to be orthodox biblical Christian, you do need to affirm what Christ promised, that he would one day literally return.
This same Jesus, which is taken from you today, will so return in like manner. As you have seen him go, he will come back. It's the visible return, not a spiritual return. It is a physical return when he comes back and makes everything right. Alex, I love one of your mentors, Chuck Colson. I read so many of his books, but I loved what he said concerning we and Bible doctrine. I doubt if any of us have got it exactly just right. And I would say that especially about eschatology. I got a feeling when we get there, oh, you were right about that, you were right about this, but none of us is right about all of it.
He's going to straighten out all of our theology, but the one thing that we know, Christ rose, and his blood will wash every sinner clean who will turn to him in faith.
And he's coming back, and you need to be ready. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell someone about it, but tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.